Project Independence is the Aging in Place initiative of the Town of North Hempstead. One of the many services we offer is transportation for food, shopping, and medical visits. Call 311 or 869-6311 to get more information or receive services.
Welcome back to Project Independence in You, right here at WCWP.org 88.1 FM. I am your host, Rebecca Miller, and my co-host today is Otto Loos.
I'm still here, Rebecca.
You're still here. Yeah. You're still great, Otto.
And I'm very honored to be with this group of people.
I know. Well, what a group we have today. It is quite an honor. So we've been talking about the film Defining Moments, and we were talking with Supervisor Judy Bosworth and Allen Ginsberg, who is the film's co-producer and director. And right now, we have quite a panel of guests here on the show. We have Bernice Sims. And Bernice, you're a North Hempstead resident, and you're also a civil rights activist. And we're just so happy that you're here today with us.
Thank you. It's very pleased to be here.
All right. Well, we'll be talking soon. And right next to Bernice is Councilwoman Lee Seaman. Hi, Lee. How are you today?
Very good.
We're very happy to have you here, and we're looking forward to hearing some of your stories and information that you have. And, of course, Supervisor Judy Bosworth.
Yeah, I'm still here.
Judy's still here, our supervisor of the town. And Councilwoman Viviana Russell.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm doing great.
We're great. Very grateful that you're here, too, on Project Independence in You. And we get to talk to our, you know, senior town residents to hear about what happened in the town of North Hempstead, where we were and where we're going, and all about this film. And, of course, Allen Ginsberg, it's great to have you. And Otto Loos. So before the break, we were just three people in here, and now we have multiplied to multiple people. And just a quick question that I had before we get into everybody's stories here is, where will this film be shown? Will it be shown to schools? Do we have that kind of a connection yet?
So originally we started bringing the documentary a little bit on tour throughout the town, so we can have a Q&A panel and have an informational discussion afterwards. Our goal is to distribute DVDs and Blu-rays to every school, especially in the town and probably beyond the town as well. We're also going to be having it online for free access. We've been talking with the Nassau County School District, and they're thinking about having a whole event to be able to show this to multiple schools. Port Washington in the fall is going to be having a diversity day where they're going to be showing the film, and just, you know, other organizations that want to help spread the information. Right. So we've already been a lot of places, and we have a lot of goals going forward as well.
How long is the film in all?
About 40 minutes.
40 minutes, okay.
Also, the libraries will eventually get copies of the film as well.
So it's being shown at the Port Washington Library, I believe, and it's going to be shown at Temple Beth El. It was shown at the Holocaust Tolerance and Memorial Center. So it's already, people are hearing about it, and as they see it, they're saying, we need to show it in my community. We need to show it to my house of worship. It makes that much of an impact.
It's really interesting to see how every time we show it, then another whole crop of people get interested and want to keep showing it. So we showed it at, you know, Yes We Can Community Center for Black History Month, and then all of a sudden a whole, you know, dozen new people said, I have to show this at my school, at my church, at my local organization. So every time it gets shown, it kind of has like almost like a web where it keeps growing and growing,
which is
great that people want us, you know, continue having these conversations.
Right.
And it was amazing because first it had its debut at a Manhasset movie theater. And then right after that, it was shown, of course, for Black History Month at Yes We Can Community Center, which was really so well received. And then it has been making the tour.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, the film really is has a lot to do with personal experience and what people experience. People who, you know, were maybe born in North Hempstead or maybe born in the South and wound up in North Hempstead. So everybody had these experiences, from housing issues to discrimination in schools. And it existed here, like you said, you know, Judy, that it did happen in North Hempstead. And it happened in the community where a lot of young people are growing up now. So it's just a great film, and it's great that people can see real-life people that live in their town that had these experiences, and that we, you know, cannot look the other way, and, you know, we still need to make some progress.
Well, you know, Otto actually referenced the different drinking fountains, And in the movie, I thought one of the most touching parts of it was Bernice's experience when she lived down south. So, Bernice, I don't know if you can just...
It was quite a picture as
well. It was an amazing
Of the two
picture.
Different water yep. fountains. Mm-hmm. It really exactly. illustrated the point.
Right.
Yes, that was quite a moving experience, as a child. It was I was very much aware of the Jim Crow laws. That was one of the things that brought it home to me. I was probably between 5 and 6 years old when I was shopping downtown with my mother in Mississippi.
Where were you? Oh, Mississippi, okay.
Meridian, Mississippi is where I was born. As you know, that pretty much came to be part of the Epic Center for Civil Rights, the Freedom School yes. Movement in 1964. But prior to that, I had noticed things that really bothered me, and one of them was the water fountain, and I was told not to drink. I was only to drink at the water fountains. It said colored only. But I noticed that there was another vehicle that was water was coming out smoothly, and that was set for white only. So as I mentioned in the film, and as I did as a child, I remember that vividly. I recognized that the water was cooler coming from the large roaring, I said, machine making the monotone sounds, and mine was squirting out, and it looked like it was a sink, and the inside of the sink seemed quite rusted, and I had an aversion to that at a young age. So when my mother's back was turned, I did the opposite. I drank from the one that said white only because I liked the water. It was cooler, and I recognized that, and I recognized the fact that the architectory, whoever designed that, I wondered who would do something like that, and it was side by side. And she began to have to start telling me the story about Jim Crow laws and what we were expected to do and what we were not expected to do. And I think that was the beginning of inspiring me to get involved at a very young age to fight for things that I thought was insulting my dignity as a human being. And I think it kind of started with things like that.
So how did you find your way to New York?
Well, my history is, and I believe they discovered this about me, I wrote a book called Detour Before Midnight. Freedom Summer Workers made a unscheduled stop at my home. The three civil rights workers who were killed in Mississippi in 1964 by the Klans, James Chaney, Michael Swarner from New York, and Andrew Goodman from New York. Michael Swarner was a colleague of mine. I had been working with him in the South. We were moving towards integration, and we were fighting the various stores, trying to integrate the stores, get employment. We picketed at a very young age. I had started in high school. He knew about my work because I had started out working with Megar Evers. And we were already pretty much trained, but I didn't know that they had selected us because we were trained to be involved in the movement. So I met Michael Swarner from New York, and he came down maybe 6 months earlier before the Freedom Summer started. And on the day that Andrew Goodman, Andy, came down, June 21st was Father's Day, came to my home and met the workers, the people that he was going to be working with. James Chaney was my next door neighbor. So they were all, murdered by the Klans that same day, Father's Day before midnight. That's why I entitled the book as such. To answer your question, my church had been used for voter registration, and my home was not bombed, but my church was. And part of that, when they were killed, had to do with my making my pretty much maybe a year, a little less than a year after that, came to New York as a way of escaping some of the conditions that we were encountering at the time. So it was kind of out of duress that we left and looked for a better life, one that was perhaps offering more equality.
Right. Your book sales actually went up by one because I was there on Sunday and I heard the story and I bought the book on Monday. So, so when you get the report, you know.
Thank you. It took a long time because it was a very painful situation, but I was able to get beyond that pain because I realized it was more important to tell the story of these heroic men who lost their life fighting for someone else's right to vote. And so it was not about my pain anymore. It's very easy for me to go out and talk about them and the relationship that I had with them. They were my colleagues. They were my friends. They were my neighbors. So it's very important to tell that story.
Yes.
I'm looking forward to reading it.
Yeah. When you did get to New York, how did that feel? What was the different feeling of the South? Did you find some of, I don't even know what the right word is, more comfort being up north than what you had experienced in the South? What was that transition like for you?
To a degree, it was, there was things that was happening in New York that was underlined. I got involved right away with the voter registration. That was an issue. That was always something that was very important to me. And I started, anytime anyone was running for an office, trying to better the situation in the neighborhoods, whether it had to do with school or housing, I got involved. And I think it was that involvement, that sense of that, social justice that just was a part of me. Mm-hmm. So it was easy for me just to fight. And then I began to find out that we had some of the same problems there, but they were just, more underlined, in the
right.
North. Yes.
Did you go right to Mineola when you first moved here? Or?
No, I first moved to Brooklyn. Moved to Brooklyn. I had a sister there. And then later on, I moved to New Jersey. And then from New Jersey to Long Island.
I have a granddaughter who lives in Mineola who is getting her master's in social work from Adelphi in May. So she's got the common link to you there.
Very good school. Yeah. I graduated there.
I
highly recommend it.
I actually read that.
I think part of Bernice's story is there are so many unsung heroes. Yeah. And there are people who, when they see injustice, instead of talking about it, actually do something about it. And so Bernice, at the age of 5 or 6, was able to understand that this was just not right and said, yeah, I'm not going to do that. And now we have Bernice, fully grown and fortunately living in North Hempstead.
Just a thought on that, to do something about it. Not everyone can do it quite as in a grand scale, but everyone as an individual can do something about, if they see a situation, they should open their mouth and say, I don't agree with that. Don't say that about that person.
That's a good segue to this next little break that we have. And when we get back, we'll certainly delve a lot more into our incredible panel here. So we'll be right back, Project Independence and you.